I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
They say life is stranger than fiction.
And so every water molecule in your glass of water or your cup of coffee right now is doing that water dance all the time.
But sometimes what we see in movies or read in books is so incredible that it obviously couldn't be possible. Or could it?
And so I would have to take everything. I would have to take all of your vibrational energy, your translational energy, and all the rotational energy and all the particles in your system as well.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Sci-Fact. I'm Brian Crump, and this is a podcast where we take science fiction's strangest ideas, weirdest elements, most unfeasible plot drivers, and explore if they could actually happen in real life. Maybe they already have. And in every episode, we bring in a scientist from New Zealand's MacDiarmid Institute to explain the theories behind some of fiction's more fantastic flights of fancy. If any theory exists.
All I wanted was to help you.
I only wanted to help. And what did you say to me?
Fly home, buddy. I work alone.
It tore me apart. But I learned an important lesson. You can't count on anyone, especially your heroes.
I was wrong to treat you that way. I'm sorry.
See? Now you respect me, because I'm a threat. That's the way it works. Turns out there are a lot of people, whole countries, who want respect, and they will pay through the nose to get it. How do you think I got rich? I invented weapons, and now I have a weapon that only I can defeat. And when I unleash it, I'll get... You sly dog! You got me monologuing! I can't believe it. It's cool, huh? 0 point energy. Am I good enough now? Who's super now? I'm Syndrome.
We're in the Pixar universe, specifically the movie The Incredibles, a happy family of mostly functional superheroes, mum, dad, boy and a girl. I can't remember whether I had a superhero pet or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if I did. And one of the plot drivers, Zero Point Energy. And here to tell us whether that is in any way possible is Professor Katha Simpson. She's Emeritus Investigator with the MacDiarmid Institute and a physics professor at the University of Auckland. And she joins me now. Kia ora, Katha.
Kia ora, Brian.
The Incredibles. Now, there's been more than one, hasn't there?
Yes, there's been more than one. But the first one, I think, is my favorite. It's the best. And they don't have a pet, but they do have a baby, Jack-Jack.
And Jack-Jack has superpowers? Must have superpowers.
I don't want to give any spoilers.
Okay, righto. That's all we need to know. That's all. There's been more, and there's been more than one. And I'm pretty sure I watched most of the first one with my son. And there's some kind of island where they're trying to rest good against evil, but I can't remember much more than that. I can't remember what gave them their superpowers. Is that where Zero Point Energy comes in?
No, Zero Point Energy comes in through the bad guy, the villain, whose name is Syndrome. He has an awesome hairdo. He's a kind of superhero wannabe, and as part of his trying to become a superhero, he invents a whole bunch of things. So he invents artificial intelligence and uses zero point energy as a kind of freezing weapon to freeze the Incredibles.
The Incredibles is actually set slightly in the past, isn't it? But an alternative past?
It's an alternative past. And I guess there's some fan universe creation going on out there, putting all of the Pixar movies together in one. And they set the Incredibles in sort of the 1950s, 1960s. I think it is really set there, but it's definitely an alternate universe.
What's alternative about it?
Oh, it's got all sorts of fun stuff in it, like superheroes. We didn't, last time yes. I was in the 50s and 60s, we didn't have people who could stretch like the main female character can and things like that.
And what's the situation with energy in this alternate 50s and 60s?
Well, are you asking specifically about the zero point energy?
Or actually where do they get most of their energy from? Do they use oil back in this alternate 50s and 60s, or are they developing something else?
They certainly use lots of energy. And as I said, there's a whole kind of fan fiction storyline creation around how they use things. And there's one in particular, if you look at pixartheory.com, this is a particularly well thought out one.
Too much garbage in your face? There's plenty of space out in space. B&L Starliners leaving each day. We'll clean up the mess while you're away.
They talk about things like the dinosaurs not dying out as quickly, so maybe there's not as much oil, and so the oil-based economy isn't there. But since, you know, WALL-E occurs later, that's another movie in the Pixar series, when humans have done bad things to the planet, you know, that's part of the storyline there as well.
And they shot through in WALL-E and just left WALL-E behind, yeah.
Yeah, poor WALL-E.
Yeah, although there was a tying up of loose ends in that one, which I won't go into right now. So zero-point energy is energy which comes from what?
It's a really fascinating idea. It turns out zero-point energy is a quantum phenomenon. So Syndrome uses it like it's kind of a freezing laser beam. He says, you know, I've got zero-point energy, ha, 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 and he freezes the Incredibles in place in whatever pattern they're in, so whatever you know, shape and expression and all of that, and they're all just frozen, and he can kind of pick them up off the ground and move them around a bit like laser tweezers, right? But zero point energy is a real thing. So if you think about classical mechanics, so the macroscopic world, I can take a ball and a spring, and I can make the ball go completely still, and so it's not oscillating at all against the spring, right? There's no motion. And the third law of thermodynamics, which is a classical kind of idea, says that the entropy of a system approaches zero as the temperature approaches zero. And so the idea is that classically, you can actually stop things completely. But quantum mechanically, you can't do that. So the Heisenberg uncertainty principle tells us that you can't know the position and the momentum or the motion of a particle exactly precisely. So that means we can't stop anything and say that we know where it is. And so zero point energy is essentially a kind of residual energy that's left in particles that just has it, so it just exists. And what it means is that even if we were to be able to take, say, a glass of water down to absolute zero temperature, that the atoms in that glass of water would still be moving, jiggling a lot all the time.
Which makes sense to me. I mean, most of the things in the room here where I'm speaking to you, well, as far as I can tell, they're not moving. There's a table. It's quite solid. I've got a cup of coffee. Now there's liquid in the coffee, so that's moving. When water is frozen, I assume it's the same. I mean, it's solid, but that doesn't mean the atoms have stopped moving. So I'm not quite sure. Can you actually get water down to, what's 0 degrees Kelvin is the coldest anything can get? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's absolute zero.
And in that point, would the atoms in that glass of water at 0 degrees Kelvin not be moving anymore, or would they still be moving? Would they still be jiggling around?
No, they would definitely be moving. So if you talk to someone who's a chemist or a chemical physicist about zero point energy, they almost all the time think about it in terms of a vibrational zero point energy. So water has three vibrational moments, you know, motions. If you imagine that your sternum, your chest bone is oxygen and your two hands are hydrogens, if you move your hands back and forth out in an angle in the same pattern, so both going out at the same time and coming back. That's called a symmetric stretching motion.
Yep, doing that right now.
If you have one going out, yeah, I call it the water dance. You have one going out and the other coming back in,
yep.
Then you're doing an anti-symmetric stretch.
Yep.
But if you bend them together, so you bring your fists sort of together, that's called a bend. And so every water molecule in your glass of water or your cup of coffee right now, or in your body for that matter, is doing that water dance all the time. If you do bring that glass of water or your body, which you should never do, down to absolute zero, then there's actually a little bit of energy in each one of those vibrations left. So you will never be able to stop the atoms in a glass of water from moving.
Is that energy the energy of quantum physics? Is it
yes.
The energy of the uncertainty principle, where we cannot be absolutely certain where a particle is at any point in time? We can
that's
get as
exactly
good as an
right.
either or, but that's it. After that?
That's right. And so it is. It's that energy. And when you're thinking about molecular vibrations, they really do behave as kind of quantized balls and springs. So you can kind of think of them that way, except that if you're using classical equations, those balls and springs can come absolutely still. But in the quantum world, they can't. So in real life, which is, you know, the quantum world, you'll never be able to make those atoms stand still. They'll never, ever, ever stand still.
But in The Incredibles, in the Pixar universe, is that happening? Is that what zero-point energy is? Is it the ability of the bad guy to actually freeze things even in a quantum way?
I think in The Incredibles, Syndrome has supposedly figured out how to harness that zero point energy and control it. And so he uses it as if it's a laser beam coming out of a gauntlet. And I think he's not just using vibrational zero point energy. So vibrations only happen when you've got more than one atom in there, right?
Mm.
But atoms have zero point energy of their own. And perhaps the weirdest thing, and now we're straying really into hardcore physics.
Yep.
Is that
we often end up there, Katha. It's all right.
It's not one of my areas of particular expertise. Like, I don't do research in this area.
It's not mine either.
Oh, good. So we can make it up as we
yeah.
can. So the vacuum, just empty space, what we think of as empty space, actually has zero point energy. And this is where this kind of underpins quantum field theory. So I think he's harnessing all of that.
Now, that makes sense to me. If there's nothing there, then there's nothing to vibrate. I still don't quite understand how you could then use that, these properties, to turn a ray or something on the Incredible Family and put them in a suspended animated state, or a state of suspended animation. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. So I think the idea of being able to harness zero point energy, that's where we stray definitely into fiction. Although one of the things that excited me when I was a very new scientist, sort of a graduate student learning some fundamental physics, was a paper I ran across. It turns out it's by one of my colleagues in the physics department here, although I didn't know that at the time. I was studying in the US, so it's one of those strange coincidences. His name's Howard Carmichael, and he was looking at figuring out how to move energy from one type of the field to another. It's called a quadrature. So it's a way to move the fluctuations that you get, those quantum fluctuations, which are the zero point energy, out of the area that you're measuring, so that the measurement that you're making has less noise in it. And then the part that you're not measuring has more noise in it. It's called squeezing light. And it's really exciting. So you can kind of manipulate this zero point energy to some degree. But as far as I know, no one's ever been able to kind of, you know, create a weapon out of it. We have been able to measure it. I say we loosely, I haven't done it myself.
Squeezing light. Is that another form
cool.
of optical tweezer?
No, it's a bit different. It's more about, now we're really straying into areas that I'm not an expert in. It's more about thinking about different components of light, different components in the way you would write it down on a piece of paper, right? And then flattening out one, which amplifies the noise in another. It's a bit like, have you ever seen one of those squeezy dolls where you squeeze it and its eyeballs pop out?
Oh, yeah.
And then you... Yeah, so think of it a bit like that, except you're doing it to light, and you're doing it mathematically.
So you might squeeze so that one frequency, you squeeze it, and that light then emerges or moves to another part of its frequency. So you might squeeze this light beam and get more of one part of the spectrum rather than another.
It's more like you're squeezing the... So if you think about measuring the intensity of a light beam, okay? So you can measure it in a number of ways, and you get noise fluctuations on top of that intensity, okay? So imagine that you could squeeze the noise out of one part and put the noise into another. And so it's not so much changing the frequency, it's changing how precise you are in measuring that frequency.
Which sounds like something which happens more on paper than in practice.
You can do it in practice, but it's quite challenging. You know, it requires looking at phase relationships and things like that.
We were talking about quantum mechanics in another edition of Sci-Fi Sci-Fact and its relationship with the multiverse, the possibility of a multiverse, and this being one explanation for the uncertainty that we experience when we're trying to look at subatomic particles, and they're either there or not there. So the Heisenberg uncertainty principle is, well, it's either or. And then the other scientists are saying, well, it can't be either or. It's got to be going somewhere if we can't see it. But we see it leave, but we don't see it arrive. And maybe it's going, one and a half of that quantum particle is going into another universe, forming a new universe. And I'm just wondering about this in reverse. What if the bad guy, what if Syndrome is actually getting energy, quantum energy, that's coming from somewhere else, from some other quantum interaction of particles?
He's either getting it from somewhere else, or the other possibility I was wondering, because what he effectively does is he does stop whatever he's pointing at with his fingers, you know, this gauntlet. I wondered if he was extracting the zero point energy from what he's pointing at. Like if you could extract the zero point energy from your glass of water, then it would be possible to make it stay completely still. All the atoms would go completely still. So he's either pulling that energy from somewhere else, or he's pulling it directly from the Incredibles, in this case themselves.
In other words, he's stopping the quantum activity that's going on. And that quantum activity is happening all the time with us, isn't it?
Yes.
And that could be one. See, the only way at the moment you could freeze somebody is to actually, chill them very rapidly. That would be the quickest and is perhaps the only way to do it. You'd have to just make them very, very, very cold very quickly. So you'd have to send some kind of beam or something that froze them. Maybe he would send a beam of some sort of really, really cold gas in their direction, and that would freeze them.
Well, now you're talking about another Incredibles character named Frozone.
Frozone! Yeah!
His superpower is to do that. So he's a friend of Mr. Incredible, and he freezes things. So he does exactly what you're describing. He points his finger, and the things, whatever he's pointing at, freeze solid. So that could be, water or people, buildings, all sorts of stuff. He freezes the Omnidroid, which is the artificial intelligent bot that is attacking them. I think what Syndrome is doing more is he's controlling energy flow. So he's controlling the flow of energy in and out of the Incredibles, whereas Frozone is simply cooling them down. So the flow is only going in one direction.
If I was to have the quantum energy removed from me and it put me in a state of suspended animation, would my macroscopic temperature remain the same?
Right. So, no, it wouldn't. But right now you're sitting at room temperature.
Yep.
And yes, you're a macroscopic object, but you're made up of lots of microscopic objects. And they're all moving and wiggling all the time. And there's a considerable amount of energy in that motion and wiggling that means that if I were to calculate your temperature by looking at all of the motions of all of those particles, I would get something that says room temperature, right? Because you're in equilibrium with, you're not in equilibrium with your environment because you're you know, you're a mammal, but, and you're not room temperature either. So you're, I hope, unless you're in a very warm room, you're at body temperature, right?
Yeah, I'm comfortable right now. Put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I were to simply extract only your 0 point energy, I would be taking a fraction of that energy out. It would be a significant fraction, but not all of it. It wouldn't be 50% or anything. So yes, your temperature would drop. But in order to make you drop to absolute zero, I would have to extract all of the energy. And so I would have to take everything. I would have to take all of your vibrational energy, your translational energy, and all the rotational energy and all the particles in your system as well.
Is there any other way of doing that?
Than just cooling you down?
Yes.
Whew, that's a really good question.
Say if I was right next to a vacuum, or you could create a vacuum right there. Wouldn't all the energy in me want to fill the vacuum?
You would certainly radiate your energy into the vacuum. That's absolutely true. But in some ways, it's just the different mechanism for getting rid of your energy. Because if you're standing next to an ice block, your body is also doing some radiation all the time. But there it would be much more about convection and conduction. If you're in a vacuum, you're not in a true vacuum, then you're not touching anything else. And so almost the only way you can get rid of energy or absorb energy in a vacuum is through interacting with that field. And so you're either going to be, if you're at a higher temperature than the vacuum, you're going to radiate that energy out. And if you're not in a quantum world, you're getting 0 point energy coming in and out all the time because the vacuum has its own energy.
So there isn't something, some substance, because I guess I'm thinking about this in terms of an electrical current for a moment, and I'm thinking, what if there was something that attached to me and it just took all the energy out of me? Is that in any way plausible?
So there's another Pixar movie called Monsters Incorporated. Have you seen that one?
Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
I think that's from quite a while ago.
Hello to the scream extractor.
Hello.
Do you remember the device that they use essentially to extract scream from people?
Vaguely.
So it's another fictional one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're using scream as their energy source. And they have a device that can essentially suck scream out of people through
right.
their mouths,
yes.
Which is not very nice. And we don't do that.
Then it drives the parallel Monsters, Inc. universe, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. It drives that universe. Yeah. And so we don't do that. In the end, of course, they find that laughter is a better source of energy. But I'm trying to think. I can't think of
because that's another imaginary thing.
Real.
Anything in the real
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I can't
that
think
could
of anything.
That.
I can't think of, that, of anything that's real. I mean, of course, there are processes going on all the time in your body because you're a living organism. And so one of the reasons that your temperature is above room temperature is because you've got things going on
yeah.
in your body all the time.
Chemical
yeah,
reactions all over the
heat.
Place.
Yeah, all of that sort of stuff. And so, you know, in some sense, and I'm not advocating that we do this in any way, shape, or form, but in some sense, killing an organism is one way to remove energy from it. Essentially, you just remove its ability to generate energy and its overall energetic state drops until it's in equilibrium with its surroundings. But that's not very fun. You wouldn't see that in a Pixar movie.
No. Well, maybe you would.
No, I mean,
there are lots of other sci-fi movies where people get killed all over the place. But
that's true.
Getting back to that quantum energy that we have and extracting that, just the quantum energy, and it's putting the lack of that, having that energy no longer there, in my body, might put me into a state of suspended animation. But is there anything in the real world? Is that possible that you could do that one day?
So this is the place where I think we're now talking about physics right at the front. So the idea that there is 0 point energy and that And that the vacuum in particular has zero point energy is a really important physics concept. The question of the effects of that and whether it can be used for anything, I think, is where we're straying out of science and into fiction. You can measure zero point energy. So, for example, if you take two conductors, so let's say we have two mirrors and we face them at each other in a vacuum, you're creating essentially a cavity, right, between the two mirrors. And if you get them close enough together, even if it's in a vacuum, they attract one another, which is a really kind of counterintuitive idea. You know, why you've got these two objects, all they're doing is reflecting the vacuum field back and forth. And that's a measurable thing. It's called the Casimir effect. And so we know that this zero point energy exists.
And that attraction of two mirrors to each other in a vacuum is explained and can be predicted by quantum mechanical theory, physics?
Yes, definitely. And there are other ones as well. But when you start thinking about, you know, the effect on, I don't know, cosmic inflation or something, you know, that's where I think the idea that quantum fluctuations, these vacuum fluctuations play a big role is still, I think it's still under a bit of debate. And whether we would ever be able to create a pair of gauntlets or even a huge machine that could harness zero point energy is a huge question.
If all the zero point energy in me was extracted from me, would it kill me? What would happen to me if I didn't have it? What would happen to the molecules in my body? And would you ever be able to put that energy back in again?
So if we were able to extract all of the energy from the molecules and atoms in your body so that they all went completely still, so we would now be in a non-quantum universe, yes, you would be at absolute zero temperature and you would not be able to do any of the chemical reactions that make you think, that make you feel, that make you sweat, that make you digest things, any of that stuff. Because all of your molecules, if we were extracting all of that energy, it would all be absolutely still.
But would it damage my tissue?
It would be the end of you.
Yeah.
So let's see. Since we're in a fictional world, I can come up with a fictional answer.
Yes.
I think my view is that if we were able to extract all of that energy, so that's all of your room temperature energy plus your zero point energy, all of that, and we made everything still about you, as long as we didn't touch anything, so we didn't go in and rearrange any of the atoms. We didn't let you fall out of your chair and, you know, shatter on the floor or anything like that. If we left you the way you were, and then we put that energy back, I think you would come back without even noticing that you had been gone.
What if we just extracted the zero point energy and didn't and didn't take the macroscopic energy in my body away?
If we extracted the zero point energy, you probably would not be very healthy. So all your atoms and molecules would continue to vibrate, but we would be removing enough energy at your body temperature would drop enough that you would probably be ill. That's my hypothesis. I'd have to do that calculation to be sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what it would be like.
But if my atoms were vibrating, but now you've taken away the ability for them to do all those quantum relationships that happen all the time, that doesn't sound very healthy.
Well, maybe I misunderstood your question. So I was thinking about it in terms of the zero point energy as a quantity of energy. So I know, for example, that the zero point energy of water, of one water molecule, you know, if I'm talking about the vibrational zero point energy, it's about 10 to the minus 20th joules. So that's tiny. But you think about how many water molecules there are, and you start to get to quite respectable energies. It's still tiny relative to the total amount of energy in you. So I was thinking about it more from the standpoint of, if I remove that energy, all of them, without changing quantum mechanics, so I'm just pulling out a 0 point energy's worth of energy out of your body, then all of the other particles would essentially rattle down until they were just at a lower temperature. And so you would essentially equilibrate at a lower temperature. But if we removed the idea that you could have 0 point energy, so if we removed quantum mechanics from you, and 0 point energy arises from quantum mechanics, then you would be in serious trouble, because virtually all of the processes that occur in your body are quantum at their core. I don't know that you would even be able to form bonds without quantum mechanics.
It still blows my mind, Katha, that our existence appears to be a game of chance. A yes or a no, a plus or a minus. It either is or it isn't. These quantum relationships are happening all the time, and that's why we are here.
You know what blows my mind, Brian? So that's a story we tell ourselves. So we're the ones that invented quantum mechanics. We invented classical mechanics. This is the way that humans study the world around them and how it works. And so in some sense, when we're describing quantum mechanics and how these microscopic things that we can't see very well, if at all, behave, we're trying to understand how they behave. And so we're creating the story of quantum mechanics as we're discovering it. Does that make sense? It's kind of our description. And in the same way that if you described an elephant and I described an elephant, they would certainly be different. It's entirely possible that had we come up with a different way to think about forces than, say, F equals MA, or a different way to think about interference between waves, for example, that we would have a different way that we think about quantum mechanics. I'm not saying the phenomenon isn't real, but certainly the way we describe it and the way we think about it is incredibly human.
There is one thing, though. Whatever we are trying to describe, the formula that we put in place to explain what goes on, we can use that to predict what will happen, and we get it right. So we don't know entirely what's going on, but we know enough to be able to predict how certain things will behave and build things around that, which we can rely upon.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's the difference between science and faith, I think.
Science and faith? So,
sure, because our science story, the way that we've developed it, the mathematical formulation that we use to describe it, or the laws that we derive to predict it, they do have a predictive power. And so we can always test whether our understanding of the universe, whether our story is right, and whether our approach to writing the story is right. There are all kinds of things, you know, littered through the history of the development of science. Phlogiston is a really good example of one, where our story about how things worked turned out not to be a very good story after all.
And then we have to go back to the drawing board again, don't we?
Yes. Luckily, we have creative geniuses at places like Pixar to help us stretch.
See, getting back to the Pixar universe, it generally... well, almost always it turns out all right. And it's interesting you use the word faith there, because I've sometimes thought about what God might be. And that I, although I'm pretty much an atheist, I don't think there's a big policeman or policewoman upstairs with a ledger that's going to make everything right for us when we die. But I do think that you could argue that God exists in all those places where we can't explain or see things clearly. God exists maybe before the Big Bang. God exists in the uncertainty with which some quantum things behave. And our search to find answers is actually almost a search for the divine.
I tend not to think of it that way, because I am an atheist. There are parts of me that would like to think about it that way, especially as I get older, but I don't think there's anything intrinsically wrong with thinking about it that way. It isn't science if you begin to think about divine as part of your framework of the universe, because you can't You can't test and demonstrate divine. What you can test and demonstrate is, I don't understand. And if you want to put God in the place of whatever God, in the place of I don't understand, well, that's religion.
Kaithra, it's been fascinating talking with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Likewise. Thanks very much, Brian.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sci-Fi Sci-Fact, hosted by me, Brian Crump, produced by Andrew Robertson, and of course, made possible thanks to the incredible knowledge of those brilliant scientists at the MacDiarmid Institute. You can find more episodes of Sci-Fi Sci-Fact on the RNZ podcast page. RNZ podcasts are also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or pretty much wherever you might find your podcasts. And make sure to follow us so you don't miss out on any new episodes.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.